Well, Jeff Archer got Daniel Gugian DL debate. Le Michel Brendan O'Davnia and Shaw I Highland Radio. Welcome everybody to the DL debate. Thanks so much for tuning in now on Highland Radio or back via the podcast. Coming up on this evening's show later on, myself and Maureen O'Donnell are going to talk all things football championship here. We were down in Nadunav yesterday to watch a very exciting round three rearranged game between the home team Downings and Niamh Connell. We'll be discussing Niamh Connell's victory, the round four draw, and of course all the LGFA action from the weekend. Well done to the Donegal Masters after a deadlock game with Sligo in the semi-final of the championship was rearranged after light ended the day last week. They come and did the job and came through. They're going to play four-time champions Tyrone, going to be up against it with their neighbours Tyrone. Well done to Eddie Crawford's men. Brian McLaughlin is a captain. There's an interview from him up on HighlandRadio.com. Big Brian does a wild bit of captain, does a wild bit of scoring. The main man himself. Tune in there and listen to him. But first, it was, of course, club final. The biggest day in the club calendar here in Donegal. Club finals at the weekend were played out in the O'Donnell Park. Joining me now is two former Donegal hurling stars, two men who know a thing or two about the small ball. They've won national titles and, of course, represented. This is diplomatically tonight. We have a man from Unions and a man from Setanta, Colin Brethna and Niall Cleary. Lads, you're welcome.
Thanks, Brendan.
Well, when I get you on here, you there, Niall?
Yeah,
hearing you loud and clear. How's the voice there? We first just have to say congratulations, of course, to Setanta, another championship won. Well done.
Yeah, thanks, Brendan. The voice is hanging up. Thankfully, I wasn't one of the ones who got up to sing. There was a bit of an open mic night for an hour last night, I think, and I had the sense to stay away from the microphone.
Well, speaking of singers and musicians and everything, Moonshore and what else? Pre-Ouija? Is that
my, well said, Brendan. Well said. Pre-Ouija. We'll give you that one.
Connie Shimpley.
My who, Brendan.
Good man.
Congratulations, Niall. Fair play.
Yeah.
Thanks, Colin. Appreciate it.
Colin, somebody could have added the music there, but might have been the right venue for you, Colin. Lads, just before we get into the game, Niall, the venue, I was just speaking to Colin there. He's up in studio this evening. Three matches in O'Donnell Park, you know. I mean, talk about holding up. The pitch was unbelievable in terms of what a great place for the hurling fans to be. And there's not many pitches could take that type of, I suppose, use in one day. But great facilities there, and it was a great day.
Yeah, absolutely unbelievable, Brendan. When I was walking out onto the pitch and we were doing the warm-up, like you really wouldn't have known that there was two games on that day, and it was such a heavy showers that morning. So all credit to the staff there. They did an amazing job to host the three finals, and there seemed to be a huge crowd at it. It was the biggest crowd I can remember for a Donegal hurling final anyway. So yeah, a great occasion, and fair play to the St Unions Club for facilitating it again.
Yeah, and listen, hurling's on the up and up, and you two guys are doing plenty involved in the background of that, as well as playing there, Niall, yourself, and taking that medal. Just on that, Colm, the pitch, that we hop, bounce up, you get to play again. I don't know, is there a name for that, the way you flick the ball back up to yourself?
Well, it's just
would have been a master at it.
I know, but it's just an awkward pickup. But Niall said, you need a cushion underneath you, you know what I mean? Yeah. And like, Niall's right, you're talking about the third game there, there'd be a lot of pitches and there'd be none of that nice fancy pickup because yeah, there'd be nothing there to pick it up from.
I was chatting with my cousin about that. He said if you did that my day you'd have got a belt, right? And my cousin Monaghan, he would have played for Monaghan, but he was saying that at his day between the slitter and the pitch, he says you tried that, the ball would have got lost in the grass
and the 37 inch hurdle to go with it.
But listen, we'll start at the start. Now, big day for Letterkenny Gaels, of course. That was their first senior final and they came out on top, and first title for them. And again, we're talking about the game and promoting it, and there's a club that's now on the up.
Yeah, definitely, Brendan. Fair play to them. I think that's their first win at any adult level competition, and it's a credit to the work they've put in there. And it's hard, like being the smaller club in a town, but it's definitely needed to cater for the numbers in a big town like Letterkenny. So it was brilliant for them, and they've had good hurlers over the years, like, and just maybe haven't been able to get a good enough team, a good enough supporting cast out. But they have a good team now, and they have a couple of young lads coming through. Donald Farrelly there is on the captain. He's on the Donegal senior panel. So yeah, they seem to be making great strides there, and congratulations to them as well.
Yeah, congratulations, Gail. Big one over Bird. It was 3-18 to 5 points. Bit of a no contest in the end in the final. Listen, you're there to win it, but yeah. It was a bit disappointing that Bird didn't have, like, make more of a game of it.
Ah, yeah, it was. I suppose for the supporters, it was disappointing. But I suppose you have to remember, and I suppose this is kind of the nuances of hurling in Donegal. You're talking about Letterkenny Gaels, who were putting out their number one adult team versus a Burt team that were probably second string and third string hurlers. Do you know what I mean? And no disrespect to Burt for doing that. It was great that they were there. Yeah. But the fact that Gaels were able to put out a team number one and number two to have a great squad there. And I suppose the cliche is you play what's put in front of you, and they destroyed them. It just wasn't a contest. But no, I still enjoyed it because I could see fellas that I didn't even know hurled, and there they were out in the field, you know, playing hurling. And, you know, like Niall is right, you know, it's great to see the work that they're doing. Like, even underage, they're now producing teams that they weren't producing 10 years ago. And, like, unions were in that position 10, 20 years ago, where we were struggling to produce teams. And now it's kind of turned for us. And wouldn't it be great? I mean, in all of this, you know, we have to understand that we're in a football mad county, and any kind of development of hurling has to be welcomed. Yeah. And I don't care what club it is. Like, the fact that there's hurling like going on in Letterkenny, in the town of Letterkenny, I think it's only to be lauded.
Yeah, and where does that leave the Gaels end? Do they end up in the intermediate?
They can now go up to intermediate. So
the likes of that Unions team, you could have a, that could be a decent battle. We love our derbies,
of course.
That'd
be lovely. I might come back myself for that
we're
one.
We're setting it all up. There you go. Dust off the hurl, I'll tell you for sure. Listen, well done to the Gaels. And the intermediates and Unions got the better of Dunlow. And again, Niall, maybe not the contest we were expecting, it, particularly from Dunlow after a great start to the match. And Unions really took over after them open 7 or 8 minutes.
Yeah, and I said to you last week, Brendan, that's a really good intermediate team in Donegal. Like, as a goal, you have Stephen Doherty there, who had been on the Donegal panel for a good few years back, and he was playing. There's a Pierce Glynn and a Stephen Donoghue there, who are both from Galway, really good hurlers. And you've a lot of lads there who would have a lot of senior experience with Unions over the last few years and even this year. And then have to give a special mention to another Offaly man up here, Brendan, Adrian Gaffey, who actually played yesterday, and his son Brendan played on the team too. So that's an amazing achievement to play a county final with your son and to win. And I'm sure great memories they'll have had from the weekend.
Yeah, nice moment that, wasn't it, Colin?
Oh, it's fantastic. You know, to see it. And again, Niall is dead right. Jeez, the work AD has done for hurling, in not alone in the club but in the county, and for him to be able to top it all off by winning a county title with his son, it's stuff dreams are made of, you know.
Yeah, magic stuff. It was a lot made about Richie Ryan coming out of the game. He did start the game well, but again, Union's defence seemed to be the backbone of this victory.
Yeah, Richie got the first two balls, and I mean, Niall played with Richie, so he would know about this, but like, you let Richie in under a high ball, you're in trouble. I think Richie scored something like 5 goals the last time Unis played them in the league. So I think Unis were going to be very, very careful about what kind of ball was coming in. So I suppose that's where the likes of the midfielders, and we had an extra kind of a man standing in front. And you know, Richie was starved of slither for the rest of the day, and that kind of was why Unions won it.
Yeah, tactics is right. This is their captain, Conor Neely. We got a couple of words with him after the match.
And you're welcome back here to the O'Donnell Park. Two games of three completed on hurling final day here in Letterkenny. And I'm delighted to say I'm joined by the winning captain of the St. Union's side, who were just crowned intermediate champions for the very first time in the club's history. And that is Conor Neely. Conor, thanks for joining us so quickly.
No bother.
Congratulations. Well done.
Thank you.
Big performance.
Oh, it was indeed. Yeah, it was hard. Now, they're a good team, and they're a couple of very powerful men out there. And it took a lot to beat them. So I'm happy we did in the end of.
Yeah. Listen, I think it's fair to say, maybe despite the first 5 minutes, it was really all Unions in that game. Would you agree?
Probably was, except, you know, the scores weren't quite going over the way we wanted, and it kept them close enough in it, except high and large, the possession was mostly ours, I'd say. Yeah,
sort of. But once you've got a grip on this game, you've leading by 3 points, and then you've came out and hit 4 for the very, very first time.
Yeah,
the squeeze was really on the opposition.
Yes, it was indeed. All of us, we worked hard. We've a couple of great managers in there, and they riled all of us up at half time and put us out in a mission. So
Well, listen, you've won the title, but I'm sure in the lead up to this, and it's been all season. You boys have worked very, very hard because he's of two groups of very serious hurlers here.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So
for
there
sure.
is, along with the seniors.
Yeah, it's been a year like no other I've experienced. Like the numbers out from right into January onwards, it was 30 and 35 and 40 boys out of training. Like, it's unreal stuff.
Yeah. Well, listen, many congratulations.
Thank you.
Can you go again now in the next game?
I think so, yeah. I think we can. Certainly hope so as well.
Yeah, well done there, Connor. Yeah, there's now an Ulster Championship. But of course, that was going to depend on who was coming through in the seniors. Isn't that right, Colm?
It just means that because Setanta won the intermediate a couple of years ago, the Ulster intermediate, they're qualified now to play in the senior Ulster, which, you know, that's no mean feat. I mean, for a club from Donegal to be going out there now and playing senior Ulster hurling.
Against an Antrim team too.
They've been drawn against an Antrim team. But Setanta deserved that. I mean, they've kind of led the charge for wins and hurling in the county for the last couple of years. And it's good to see it. But it does mean that St. Union's, now be it a mixture of both teams or the senior team, now can go and compete in the Ulster Intermediate.
So every cloud, Niall, is a silver lining. You've got the St. Union's and the Intermediate Championship. And Niall, for your own runs through Ulster, will that do a lot for this team if they can win a few games? And you talk about experiences in hurling and good outside the county, that so it could be a great thing for St. Union's to go on a run in the Ulster.
Yeah, definitely, Brendan. And the hardest thing is that first game. Like, if you can get over that first game, that's what we found is the toughest one. And if you can get a bit of momentum behind you, win your first game, and then you can get on a bit of a journey, like, and you just don't know. And the biggest thing probably that it does is that it means those lads are now not finished hurling in August. They're going to still be hurling until end of October, November. So that's an extra 2 or 3 months hurling and training. And like, you can't beat that. We had it for a few years there, and it just brings on some of the lads. Like, your top players, maybe you're not going to improve them too much more, but it's that middle group and the lower group that the more hurling you can get into them, the better, and that'll definitely benefit St. Union's.
And like, do you remember now, a couple of years ago, Setanta made a run all the way to wasn't it the All-Ireland semi-final? I mean, that's incredible stuff for a team from Donegal.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing. Like, we were just talking about it yesterday. Like, our club was formed in 1979. Like, and on a weekend like that, when you know now you're going to be able to compete at Ulster Senior and you're playing at the same level as every other club in the country now, and then you think of people like Eamon Campbell and Kathleen Campbell and Danny Cullen Senior, who'd be grandfather of Danny the player now, and Eamon Farrell and Austin McGovern, some people we've lost in the last couple of years, and you think how proud it would be for them to see the club that they started now going up to take on maybe a Cushendall or a Lochiel in the Ulster Senior, and their family's obviously still heavily involved at the moment. So
Eamon Cameron would be in his element, Niall.
Yeah, he would.
Yeah, he would. He'd be loving that up to Glen Devon to take on Lochiel, wouldn't he?
He'd just love it. Could you imagine him?
You'd hear him. Yeah. Listen, going into this final, Setanta's always the team to beat. You know, it was at 9 finals now. Obviously, they've been stung by the defeat last year. Mm-hmm. They were going to be a dangerous proposition, but different to think from probably Union's Setanta last year. In 1 year, Union suddenly were coming into this match. You know, they'd done a hell of a lot of prep. They had a great season leading into it. They were confident of winning.
They were, and I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that the two best hurling teams in the county were in that final yesterday. I mean, all you have to do is just look at the league setup, look at the semi-final wins both clubs had. So it was gearing up to something special. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, God, the amount of people had asked me, what do you think? It was very, very difficult to call that before it. You know what I mean? A couple of years ago, you'd be kind of saying, Ara, we hope we'll do something. But it was different this year. Like, you know, Unions went in there, I would say, absolutely expecting to win. Setanta went in there, absolutely expecting to win. And that's what great games are made of.
Mm. And Niall, just a bit of background for Setanta. You won a lot of championships like that there, and it's sometimes hard to get the fire. Was the pre-season and leading into this season after the defeat to Burt, was that a bit of a galvaniser in terms of coming back to right the wrong from the final?
Yeah, like, I suppose when you lose one, like, it does definitely give you that little bit of extra motivation for the next year. And definitely fitness was something that we put an extra focus on this year. And the lads started back in Hope Fitness way back early in the year. And, you know, to give ourselves that base. And it probably showed on Saturday that we finished the game maybe stronger. And we did have it in the legs in the last 10 minutes. And it definitely helped. But yeah, like Colm said, like, going into that game, it was a real 50-50 game. And even on the day, like, we got the goals at the end, but if the game had gone the other way and Unions had won, we couldn't have overly complained either. You know, it was a 50-50 game, and that's the way it played out on the day as well.
Yeah. Listen, very blustery. Was one of the unfortunate things about it, Colm. Listen, just look at the two teams away. Cormac Finn was sweeping and Bernard Lafferty. I was just chatting to you there before we came in about Union's going long ball at times. It seemed to be a wee bit more of a threat from Setanta, you know, in terms of that long ball. And to me, I was thinking, should they have played it through the lines a bit more, because there was a lot of ball cut out in that first half from sweepers. They ended up five each. It was very low scoring, but conditions were causing it.
And both sets of defenders were on top. I mean, that is the way it looked, even from the stand. And like you said, we had two sweepers protecting the full back line. You know, everybody say to you, you know, unless you have a full forward who's winning the ball, and neither Josh nor Kane Randall's on the Union's side were winning enough ball to kind of back up the long ball. So I think there's an argument to be made. Maybe we could have brought it through the lines, but then every time Brian McIntyre got the ball, he seemed to be able to punch holes with his running, and you're kind of going, God, maybe that's the way it we should have kept going. But like Niall's out there saying something very important there. Like last year, the year before, that running game from Unions would have possibly tired Setanta out, but they weren't tiring out this time. they were well able to, you know. And that's I would agree with Niall. Like even coming away from that match, you do wonder how Unions lost it, but at the same time, you know, I think the better team won because they finished the stronger.
Yeah, you'd have to say that, Niall. Listen, that period we talked about when Unions went four up. Now, normally in a hurling match, 4 points isn't a lot. You don't, certainly not a lead, did you think you're going to win the game from that time out. But in this game, 4 did seem like a big, you know, Setanta were a wee bit flat at the time. Unions seemed to be on top, you know, if you were guessing it at that point. But there was a great response from Setanta then after that in terms of going behind. They really controlled the game. I think Unions didn't score then for maybe about 16 minutes. And so Unions went really flat.
Yeah, it was definitely a worry at the start of the second half, Brendan, you know, watching on and seeing them going ahead. And we didn't look to be creating any chances. And it was definitely worrying. But then I think an important change happened. Kind of, we got an injury to one of our cornerbacks, and we needed Rory McLaughlin, and we needed to rejig things. And it ended up bringing Danny Cullen out around the middle. And he kind of steadied the ship there, got on a lot of ball and just making the right decisions and getting us on the front foot. And then we won a couple of frees, and Jared kept us in the game with the frees. And it was just probably that bit of experience, you know, at that point that, right, we just can't let them get too far away from us here. You just got to keep digging in and tipping over points at that stage, not panicking. And that's kind of what we did.
Yeah. And it kept down, I suppose, that 59th minute, Josh Cronley gets the ball. And I was just speaking to you about, you know, defending. And when you get turned like that in hurling, you're in trouble. Like, so you're going to win the ball first, but he is such a physical, you know, unit that if he gets the wrong side of you. And that first goal in particular really was the killer. That was the dagger, because in a low-scoring game, you know, it was point for point, basically, or towards the end of the game. Yeah. It looked like it was heading for a draw, but he had ideas.
And, like, it was a dagger into the heart for Unions. I mean, like Unions were 4 points up. And then, do you know what, there was a couple of maybe controversial frees given, but Jerry Gilmore is a serious free taker. And like the breeze in O'Donnell Park, I remember taking frees down there, and you'd always be wondering, is it coming in from the left or from the right? Half the flags are saying it's so it's not easy to take a free in O'Donnell Park, but he stuck some very important frees that brought them back level. And then, like you said, a ball into Josh. The defender then has to make a decision. Do you come out in front with your hurl and try and break the ball away? You know, if you miss that, which is what happened, Big Josh was well able to just turn his man physically, and then the defenders are left with a choice, because once a man of that stature goes past you, you either foul him or you try and dispossess in it. And unfortunately, for a Unions point of view, that was the killer. He went in, and he stuck a great goal, and he won it very well himself. You know what I mean? It's not easy when, because it wasn't a great day for forwards trying to win ball in those blustery wins. And like when he got that in his hand and he starts running, like you knew there was something dodgy going to happen, you know. And he stuck both goals very, very well, you know.
He's such a handful. I could imagine himself and McBride at training must have some battles, you know, because he looks like a serious commanding fullback. I'd say they'd be that's some way to sharpen yourself up going into a championship match if them two are taking it on each other at training then, Niall.
Yeah, I don't know which of them is more unlucky. I don't know which of them is coming away from training thinking, oh, geez, I have to mark Stevie tonight, or oh, geez, I have to mark Josh tonight. But you're right, he's such a powerful man. Like, and in fairness, the management have been on to him this year to kind of change up his game, add in a bit of, like, shipping the ball off or taking it on the outside and popping a point, because Josh really does have goals on his mind. Like, you know, I came in there the last 10 minutes and he was just shouting out the field, just get me the ball, just get me one ball. And then, that, like, in fairness, it came from actually a miss hit from one of our forwards, JP, and it just kind of probably caught Lorcan Heavey a bit unawares. And before you knew it, Josh had the ball and he had him spun. And then when he gets in there, he just doesn't miss. Like, I'm delighted for him. He's had a busy few weeks. His partner Molly had a baby recently, so it was a big few weeks for him, and just delighted for him because he's put in a massive effort this year.
And very important, Niall, to say that I'm a teacher up in the Gael School, and this little fella in first class came up to me and he says, "Hi, Munter Colum, come here for a second." He said, "Satanta are going to win on Sunday." I found out later he was Josh's cousin, Max. he was the one man in school today with a huge smile on his face.
Josh will be swapping.
He has the same confidence Josh has, so that's what he said to you.
Josh will have to swap the cold bottles for the warm bottles now for the Baba. Good man, Josh. We'll get a couple of words from him. Oisin caught up with him after the game, the man himself.
And you're welcome back to our coverage here from the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny. We've had a brilliant day today. It's senior hurling final day. Finals day, actually, in the hurling front in Donegal. And the senior champions for a 19th time were Satanta, who had that dramatic comeback coming from 4 points down to win comfortably in the end, 2-12 to 13 points against St Unan's. The man of the match today was Josh Cronley-McGee, who scored 2-1 in the closing stages of this game to give Satanta that title. And he joins us here now for some reaction. I suppose, first of all, congratulations. How does it feel to be a champion again?
It feels brilliant. Last year left a bad taste in my mouth, like, and we just to go all year, get back here, win this county final, and show, just give the account ourselves we didn't last year.
Yeah. Well, listen, this year you certainly did, and particularly yourself towards the end. You get the two biggest scores of the game, I think it's fair to say. Those goals come in the closing stages, which sealed the deal here. And you always felt, I'm sure, through the game that you could do something big, Josh?
We just felt that the goals were coming. If we kept peppering the ball in, eventually the dam would break and we'd get in and we'd get the goals. But it just took longer than we thought, I suppose. But look, it came whenever we needed to, and yeah, it got us over the line.
I suppose Jared Gilmore kept you very much in the game. He hit 9 of the opening 10 points, and that was just keeping you in touch all the time before you were able to break through.
Jerry's a class act. Like, there's nobody in his league in the county. Like, it's fair to say. Like, he's just... He can score from anywhere. He can create goals from anywhere. He's just the run he did in the second half, it took 3 or 4 of them to stop him. Like, he's just brilliant player.
Yeah. Well, you said the disappointment of last year and obviously coming in this year, but for some reason people decided to tag Satanta as underdogs.
Yeah, we kind of felt very disrespected in that regard. Like, you know, we've paved the way for the other clubs in Ulster. There's going to be 3 Donegal teams representing Ulster now, and like, that's not any other club, that's us. We did that. So, yeah. Bit of respect would be nice, but hey, last year everybody was delighted when we lost. This year, who's laughing now?
Yeah. So listen, you know, you have the Munster Cup back again. You've had big days, so you have, in a Satanta shirt and a Donegal shirt. So you have, how does this rank now?
This is number one. I'm a new father and my daughter was here today.
It's all brilliant.
First ever game, county final. Couldn't be any happier.
Yeah, well listen, many congratulations.
Thank you.
Very, very well done on the birth of your child, and obviously today as well. So it's a special year for you, and you have to cherish them. You mentioned Ulster there.
Yeah.
You're now going to the senior club.
Yeah. Look.
Well, good place to be.
Good place to be.
To test yourself.
Where we want to be. Like, you know, last year we thought we were going to get straight back up to it, and look, Bert on their day put us off it. Like, and we had to go back to the drawing board and get back to where we wanted to be, and now we're there. Yeah. And big shift. There's probably about 9 weeks or something out, Ulster. Yeah. Big shift of work to go in that time. Try and get the bodies right. And we got a few lads back, like Sashin there. You know, he came on and he's recovering from a hand injury. You know, got it for him whenever it happened because he's flying all year. But look, he's back out on the pitch now and he'll be ready for Ulster. So will we.
Yeah, ready for Ulster is right. Just last wee point, Ken, on the game and that. Do you think late on, you know, it's went for a couple of scores, and see in hurling sometimes, and listen, obviously it's just hurling football, it's a GA show, there's certain points in a football match you think that's in your range, you're on. The hurling range is so big. You know, there's a couple of attempts maybe laid on. Do you ever think maybe the ball should have been worked, or is it a question of if you see the post you go for it, or what's your feeling?
Yeah, like? I remember actually after Josh got his goal, Eunice actually hit 2 wides, one
that's
after another.
What I'm talking about, yeah.
And it was from the far side of the field. And do you know what? Like, it probably, in a way, you're kind of hoping it falls to someone, you know, with experience and someone who isn't panicking. But at that stage, you know, if you're not used to playing in county finals and, you know, you get a ball, it's just, it's nearly adrenaline. You know, yeah, the way, yeah, it is. And you will just go for it rather than just thinking. I mean, at that stage, we had the likes of Sean McVay standing inside full forward, and you'd be kind of going, geez, will somebody hit a ball decent into him? At least he'd, you know, he could win something inside there. But listen, it's, there's no point in blaming people. People do, they're not trying to lose a game for you. Yeah. They think they're doing the right thing. But I mean, hindsight is a great thing. You know, we could be saying it's an awful pity instead of going for that big, huge, long range point with that blustery breeze that was there, that someone didn't kind of calm themselves down and hit a lower one in, or even work it through the lines and pop over an easier one, you know. But listen, this is how we learn. This is how we get better.
Yeah. Is that the thing, Niall? Just there's that experience as a tant that we're on about the runs, you know, through Ulster, the brilliant seasons. That experience is in there. It's embedded in there, particularly late on in a game.
Yeah, and it gives you a bit of belief then, Brendan, as well. You know, we've been here before in tight games. We know going down the stretch, if we're in a game, there's a good chance we'll know how, we'll figure out a way here to see it out. And kind of that's, in fairness, we said it all day. If we just get enough ball into Josh, eventually something will come off. And I'm like, those ones you're referring to there from, like, they were just unlucky. I thought actually personally myself that it was the right decision to go for some of those shots, and it was just execution was just slightly off, whether the wind was swirling or whatever, yes, like, and probably let us off the hook a little bit, whereas we probably didn't miss those ones in the second half so much, and that was just the difference, yeah, in the end.
Listen, I can see the protein shake in behind you getting ready for Ulster there. What? There's no Monday club. A Sunday club was enough, was it, after your celebrations?
Yeah, Sunday club was enough, Brendan. I had the sense to go home. I went home around 10:30 or 11 o'clock last night. I just, the words weren't coming out of my mouth anymore. So I need to get out of here. But
we've all been there.
More than protein shakes we need to, if we're going up against a Cushion Dollar or Dunloy or a Lochiel or something, we'll definitely have to win. A massive shift. We kind of had a taste of it a couple of years ago. We played Thomas down from Kilkenny and we got a bit of a lesson that day, so hopefully we can learn something from that, and like, we'll be looking to be really, really competitive in that game and go out and give a good account of ourselves now as the Donegal representatives. And yeah, just before I finish up as well, Brendan, I just want to pass on condolences to Brendan and David in particular. It was a blow to Unions before the game with Ollie passing and then the two lads not being available. So from everyone at the tent, I just want to pass on our condolences to them as well.
Thanks, appreciate that, thanks so much. Now, just last to you, Colm, it's amazing we're having this conversation, as Niall was saying, that we're in the mix with sides like that and Antrim, that are Donegal teams going to play it, but that's the strides that Setanta have made.
Yeah, it is. And like, I mean, Niall himself knows that, he's a teacher. Myself and Niall had groups of kids playing hurling all year. You know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, we wouldn't have had those big groups being able to come up because they wouldn't be interested. So there is an interest in there. And the likes of Setanta going on an Ulster run and Unions hopefully doing something down the intermediate, all that feeds into it. So the more, you know, kids can see in the Donegal news or whatever papers or online that they're reading about hurling teams doing well, the more they'll want to play the game. And like, really, it's all about developing the game. I mean, the game up here needs to be developed. And don't get me wrong, it's gone.
Evening, Niall Cleary, thanks for joining us. Good luck in Ulster, lads. And thanks for that roundup from the weekend's hurling. I'll be speaking to you after this break. Me and Maureen O'Donnell will wrap up the weekend's FITBA. Yes, folks, welcome back to the DL Debate. Really enjoyed that chat with the two boys there rounding up. Hurling is on the up and up. What a brilliant game it is. And football is on the up and up as well, particularly with the new rules. The headline is 14-man Niamh Connell dig deep to defeat Downings. And myself and Maureen O'Donnell were down getting half blown away there. Maureen joins us now. How are you, Maureen?
Good. Hey, did you get over it?
Listen, I did. Listen, I have shorter hair than you, so it was a bit easier for me to fix myself after.
I had a lot to contend with, didn't I? But I had the hat on, so it wasn't so bad.
Listen, this rearranged fixture, I suppose, down at the, we were saying about coming to the seaside, there was no bucket and spade needed yesterday because it was difficult conditions. It was always going to be a game of two halves, but certainly for a very ever-improving Downers team. And I know Maxi Kern be listening now and mightn't want to hear that, or the Downers players, but you can see huge improvements in Downers. You know, you have a team there which is favourites for the championship most years in Niamh Connell. Wealth of experience. Like, we were looking before the game, six county panellists. So, you know, really, Downers put themselves in a position to at least get something from the game. But certainly in that first half against the Breeze, hitting two goals gave them something leading into half-time to go for in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, I really think that the goals were a huge advantage to them going in at half time. You know, even though they were 8 points down going in at half time, I could have fared out a lot worse for Downies. But like, look, you did say it there. They were really impressive at home. You know, they're playing a big, big side in Niamh Connell. And I think that that's what they really should be coming away with from the game. Like, they held them to 2 points. And there was a stage in the game where even the crowd thought that, you know, they had it. Because obviously with McGruddy having that chance at the two-pointer, that may have changed things as well. And they had the stuff breeze. I felt that Downies were out in the first half against that really, really difficult breeze. And, you know, they gave everything in the first half and managed to get those two goals in. So, you know, yeah, they were a big boost for Downies, and you know, it made it a lot easier for them coming out in the second half, Brendan.
Yeah. There's more. It was on 21 minutes. It was six each, and you really felt at that stage because of them two breakaway goals that Downies were well in the game. But then you seen the absolute best of Niamh Connell, and I know one desisted or not, but some of the scores were top drawer, particularly O'Malley's, and definitely Brendan McDyer's near the end. They were as good a scores as you'd see.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they really came to the fore in the first half, and they were, as I say, they were just taking pop shots in. You know, Downies were doing their best, you know, to keep their defensive shape against them. But luckily, you have O'Malley there, you have, look, Brendan McDwyer there, you know, even Owen McGittigan, as we both said, Owen McGittigan didn't really have his shooting boots on early on. But I think Ronan Gallagher had a man marking job on him and was trying to keep him, you know, well at bay. But like, some of the 2 point ranges from well outside the 45 and really like out on the left and out on the right, and I mean, they were using the opportunity they won, and even from the outside of the boot we did you know, remark that they were having pot shots maybe up to five or six wides in the first half as well. So they could have scored more, you know. But again, look, they had that breeze assisting them, and again, I'll go back that I thought Downies, you know, a bit scrappy at times, but they, you know, they made the best of a really difficult situation, you know, in the first half, and tried to keep the score down as much as possible.
Yeah, well, just looking, you know, there was some great battles going on out there, and Cian McBride got a goal in that first half. We were speaking about him, you know, he's transferred from Meath. Listen, you're looking at Downies team, you need power out round the middle, because he was having a great a battle out in that midfield sector, and without his height and power out there, You couldn't imagine Downing's doing as well in that game. And that's another reason why this team is, I suppose, evolving, because he's been a big addition to them.
Yeah, he absolutely has. Like, you know, when you look at him, the height of him in midfield, and like, our game has, like, especially in club championship now, you know, and we talk about how important the kickouts are. So it's very, very important to have somebody even for that mark in midfield as well. And, you know, as you say, he's playing county football with me. I think he was playing junior championship down there and probably come here to play senior championship. And I mean, he's definitely getting the experience of a really, really decent senior championship. And Downey's doing particularly well, as we say. But yeah, you definitely need power around the middle. Look, it was evident there, Niamh Connell in the second half winning a lot of their kickouts. Downey's felt just, you know, maybe lost too many of their kickouts in the first half against that strong one. You know, the ball was, you know, hanging up in the air, but possibly maybe should have gone short or changed it up a little bit. But look, as I say, it's all experience, Brendan, you know, and difficult conditions as well, down there.
For us or for the players?
For both.
But listen,
I needed about seven arms yesterday to keep all my sheets in place.
The kickouts, when we talk about this so often, games are more or less won on the kickouts. When you look at it, possession equals a shooting opportunity. Unless you're coughing them up, you should be ahead. And Kieran Geller has created some battle in midfield, but I felt, particularly in the first half, he really came out on top. And again, you know, there's a pivotal man, particularly with the loss of Kieran Thompson to this team. You need to win that primary ball, and then you have a ton of runners from Niamh Connell that can come and cause problems.
Yeah, look, you nailed it on the head there, Brendan. Like, kickouts, you know, I feel now are winning matches as much as the two-pointers. Possession is key, because when you get a very good experienced team like Niamh Connell on the ball, they're very, very hard to dispossess, you know. So, like, you know, and look, we remarked yesterday as well, they went down to 14 players and they come out in the second half, and, you know, Martin Regan had them in there and he was talking to them a little bit over the time he should have been. But like, they had to get that right. They had to get their kickouts right, because, you know, winning the kickout would get them on the ball against that breeze. And they were well able, as you've seen, you talked about runners there. They had runners, and Finn Barrote, he got the man of the match. I thought he was absolutely outstanding. He was all over he was all over the field for them. Like, but even Ethan O'Donnell dug deep. You know, you had O'Malley, they were all on the ball, and, you know, it was very, very hard for Downies to dispossess them. You know, so, and you know, they won an awful lot of their kickouts in the second half as well, so that did help. Yeah, absolutely, Brendan. Runners and possession and key, and, you know, I felt they did better with the kickouts in the second half against the Breeze.
Yeah, they did indeed. And quite a few players back in the mix. I know we mentioned Kieran Thompson, but Martin Regan, named after me after the match. The difference is there in this year to last year. They're certainly building a top squad there. I caught up with them after the match. Here with Martin Regan. Martin, blustery conditions down here. It was a big game for both in round three, sitting on two. It was a must-win for both teams, really. But I really thought the experience of your team won out and all, but it was a real another tough encounter for you.
It was. I suppose blustery is probably an understatement. It was gale force out there, really, really strong, and you kind of had to be here to appreciate how strong that wind was. But no, it was a great battle, as it was. It was a as you say, we were both on 2 points, and we both probably needed a result to be sure to make the top 12. And like, we're lucky, we're very lucky over the line. And as you say, experience in the last 10 minutes was the difference, really. Not even the last 10, the last 6 or 7. I think they got level with probably a minute of normal time left. And the momentum was with them, the breeze was with them, everything seemed to go in their favour. But no, we pulled out a few big moments in the last few minutes to sneak over the line.
Yeah, 14 to 2 goals in the first half. And they kind of got 2 goals in the break. Of course, you have to work the ball and you have to go for goals. It was a wee bit of a sucker punch in terms of you were dominating the kick out, but they had those 2 goals to cling on to at half time. So you kept them in a good bit at half time. Were you doing a bit of tactical work?
Nah, big time. No, it was, the goals were a killer now in that first half. And I suppose the way that breeze was, it was always going to be hard to kick points. And we kind of said that at half time, it's nearly easier to go after goals than it is after points and get in as close as you can. And I think we had 2 or 3 goal chances ourselves in that second half, but we didn't take them. And one of them would have made a big difference. I think Finbar broke through maybe once or twice, and Ethan got through at one stage as well. But we kind of needed one of them, it felt, at that stage, and we just weren't getting it. But no, the breeze made a big difference, and I suppose obviously having to defend then against that breeze with 10 players, obviously with Jack being sent off in the first half, it made it difficult too. But no, the boys stuck to the tasks rightly now and ground out a result.
Yeah, and was that I suppose one of the most pleasing aspects, man, that sending off? No one seemed to see what happened at the time. You know, the stock of a stamp, but certainly it really put backs to the wall in that second half.
Oh, it did. Yeah, I didn't see it myself now either, but no, it did. You know, it's a different game now to what it was in the last few years. Obviously, you lose a man and you're under big pressure defensively. Defend with a player less, and 10v11, it is difficult. But no, the boys done rightly, and they limited their shooters, I suppose, as best they could as well. Michael Wee and Jeremy McGrory never really got many shots off, and that made a big difference. The boys done really well on them.
Yeah, and really tough hitting this season without Kieran Thompson, because Ethan O'Donnell back today, huge game for him. He looked real on the money. Young Malone coming on for you as well, and there's a lot added to the team in terms of going into this championship, along with the experience you have. Great having Ethan back.
There is, yeah. Like, I know, obviously, there's no hiding the fact that Kieran's an absolutely massive loss to us. He's been our go-to man the last number of years, so he's a huge loss. But obviously, to get Ethan back there now in the last couple of weeks is a big lift. And you know, you have Kieran Gallagher from last year as well. He didn't play last year. Owen McGinnigan didn't play last year. Jack McKelvey was injured all the championship last year as well. So, and obviously you mentioned Shea and Max Campbell, boys that added to the panel as well. So Alton didn't play much last year. You know, we've a lot of boys coming back from last year as well that are huge additions as well. So obviously Kieran is a loss, but no, we've plenty of players ready to step up to the plate.
Yeah, plenty of players to step up to the plate. Most certainly looking like a team, Mo, that'll be hard to beat. But that table now looks a lot different. The fact that they had obviously lost that opening game, came through a very tight one against Ardrath. They're now up in the kind of middle table area. And, you know, next game up will be a big one. They are playing St. Michael's at home. So, you know, come through that there, Mo, and they might be in a position to avoid the prelim.
Yeah, listen, that's what we were saying yesterday. Look, St. Michael's aren't going to be a walkover either, and they probably know that it's going to be a tough battle. I think they just had maybe the advantage of being at home for that game. But yeah, having watched Niamh Connell yesterday, look, the experience that are filtering through that team, and even without Kieran Thompson, you know, they're a very well put together team. As I say, they're cute, they're very experienced, and they know how to play the game, you know. So, like, after seeing them yesterday, I definitely would say, you know, look, they'll be in the prelims, and they'll probably, I'd say they're just short of the top four, you know. But like, look, the whole thing depends on an awful lot of factors and results now at the weekend. It can go so many different ways, but I'd say, you know, and I'd say Martin Regan himself realises he's going to be in the prelims, but, you know, they're going to be a very hard team to beat, Brendan. I'd say, you know, having watched them yesterday, they have a huge amount of experience. And, like, look, at the very end of the game too as well, they emptied their bench as well. Thompson come off and the Brick Malloy come on as well and had a bit of an impact on there. Like, even Owen McGinnigan was a wee bit quiet. He got away maybe at the end of the game there. But
wee Shane Malone, he caused a few problems. He looked sharp.
Exactly, yeah. He came off the bench as well. He was very, very good for them yesterday. So, look, they have people coming, they have players coming off the bench too as well. And Martin Regan touched on that. They have players back from injury last year as well. Additions to the team, Max Campbell as well there. So they're all to come in yet.
Yep.
They're very, very strong, I think.
Yep. Well, the men from Downing's are away to St. Noel's next day out. St. Noel's still without a score, but certainly put a good performance up against St. Eunan's last day out, but Downing's will be looking to win that and move to 4 points. Maxie Kerner, manager, had to shoot off after the game, and I caught up with one of their selectors, Anthony Boyle. Here with Anthony Boyle. Anthony, big game here at Downing's. You've been very competitive here in Championship. You know, you're one of the top teams in the county coming here, so close to at least getting a share of the spoil. Disappointing to lose a game?
Yeah, very disappointing, Bryn. I suppose when we brought it back level, and we thought it was there for us, especially with the wind. But unfortunately, you know, Glenties are a seasoned outfit. There was 3 or 4 kickouts towards the end where we needed the ball, and they had the nous and the know-how and won those vital breaks, and that made a huge difference. And then, and that last, or the stretch as you call it, the last 5 minutes.
Yeah. The modern game swinging so much in kickouts. When you were under the cosh in the first half, they were winning all the kickouts. You know, Big Gallard in midfield, McBride was doing well for you, but they were winning the kickouts. They just panned in, but of course you give them kind of sucker punch goals in the break. And you know, at 20 minutes in, it was 6 points each. You were doing really well. They had a bit of a purple patch and they went down 14 to the 2 goals up, but you still must have been happy enough at half time the way it went.
I suppose we were happy to some degree. You know, young Pageant Shield had a big impact on those 2 goals. Terrific young footballer, brilliant prospect. But what we were disappointed was with the 2-pointers that we conceded just before half-time. Because Brendy got one of them. I can't remember. Was O'Malley maybe got another? And those were key points at that stage. And I suppose they got 2-pointers at that stage that we didn't get towards the end. And in the end, that was the difference, Brenton.
Yeah. And indeed, them playing with a man less. You know, the way teams drop off each other can be hard sometimes to utilise that. Because looking at that team, there was so much experience. I mean, I was looking at the 6 players that were in the county squad last year from a team that was in All-Ireland final. So, you know, I know taking defeats a lot, but I'm just seeing a lot of progression with these, with this Downing teams this year.
Yeah, in fairness, I've said to the boys, just Maxie had to go. He had another commitment, and I was just saying to the boys, to hold the head high. You know, the focus is completely on St. Noel's now next weekend. But for us to come closer, you know, to Glenties, you know, in my day or your day, you know, I played with Kelly Beggs, like, and we rarely got beat by Niamh Connell. So I was saying, I'm tired of getting beat by Glenties, and to come so close, Bren, is a real sickener. But there's the boys can take credit and belief from that, because, you know, having beat Kilcare, come run down low close here at home, and to come so close, that's the most gut-wrenching thing about it. But that's football, that's Championship football too.
Yeah, certainly a good, very competitive game, and Downing's doing well. They say they're ready. St. Noel's, Glenfinn, host our draw, a real playing Killy Beggs. Termon playing St. Eunan's, good derby there. Dunlow v 4 Masters, that's a very interesting encounter, as is Niamh Connell. St. Michael's, Kilcare, and Glen Swilly as well, a lot resting on it. And McCool's versus Godore. Some great fixtures in there. Mo, as you say, is going to do a lot to show us the shape of the table and who's going to be up or down. Very hard games to call, Mo, them matches.
They are. And I mean, looking where the teams are sitting, you know, like, there's teams there that have a hell of a lot to lose, you know, so that's what is going to make the weekend very, very interesting. You know, the likes of Termon there have a lot to lose. 4 Masters really going down to Dunlow at home. While it's Dunlow are top of the table, they'll still not want to be beat down there, but, you know, the one would certainly help 4 Masters. But yeah, there's some absolutely cracking games on there and a lot to watch over the weekend, Brendan.
Yeah, most of the top half are actually playing each other, so that should leave for very interesting affair, Mo. There was a ladies' championship at the weekend, Mo. The Dunlow ladies, they're climbing up the ladder. They just didn't get there yet, but they certainly were close in the Burn Road.
They are, and it would have made it really, really interesting. You see, I suppose it was a must-win match for Dunloe, and really it was a must-win match for Termon, because it would have left it very tricky for them, because they're away to Mobile next weekend. And if Dunloe had beat Termon yesterday, they would have been on 6 points each. So, you know, that would have just left it. But and then Dunloe playing Erua this weekend. I have no doubt Dunloe will beat Erua. That would have put them on 9, and then Termon would have been in hot water away to Mobile. So, but listen, that's not the way it panned out. They were 5 points down, Brendan, now at half time. So Dunloe did really, really well, I have to say, and put it really up to them. And, you know, just Termon narrowly got over the line by a point in the end. You know, they'll be very, very relieved with that result. So that puts them in the clear. They're the top two, Mobile and Termon. So they'll be going into the semis with the other side of the Group B, which is Glenfinn and St. Noel's, actually made it to the semi-finals on score difference. So, you know, and that's huge for them as well. Niamh Connell, obviously, and Niamh Borough lost out. Niamh Borough haven't won a match. But that's the top four for the semi-finals, I'd say. You know, look, Glenfinn...
It's tough in Group 1, Mo. Somebody had to lose out on that side. You've three, maybe, teams that would have, you know, held their own in any semi.
But yeah, absolutely. And listen, do you know what? It's a great sign of the championship and you know, how it's strengthening. And you listen, long may it last, Bren. The more teams that come up there and start to compete, what you really want is two groups that are very competitive, both very competitive. Even the teams, you know, teams winning all their matches, maybe not losing them. Like, obviously, Nivor are just not getting themselves... not really getting off the mark at all, but hopefully in a couple of years they might get up there, you know. And then look, going on to intermediate then, and you know, I was singing Downey's praises. I really thought that they would do well in junior, but they find themselves in the Shield this year.
Yeah,
you know, so that's a big upset.
Got the first one against Cairn, and Killy Beggs unbeaten, beating Buncrana. Are they moving up the gears as well? Would they be your favourites for the competition?
And listen, I'm absolutely delighted to see Buncrana going up there. Buncrana weren't senior for so long. And then, you know, when you go into senior championship, you can't come down unless you apply to Croke Park, Brendan. So, you know, and a number of years ago, they were just getting, you know, thralled the whole time, and it wasn't doing them any good, to be honest with you. And they applied and they got back down into intermediate and dropped down. And look, they've seemed to be improving now. Obviously, it's a fine line. You and I both know the call to drop to intermediate. It's very, very difficult to get out of it when you get there. You know, whilst they can improve and there can be silverware to fight for, you know, when you're up in the senior ranks, but you know, you're getting trashed the whole time. It's not so nice for a team, but at least the team then, they went down and, you know, they're in the top two now this time. It's very, very good.
Yeah, and listen, well, just you need to be at that level where you're competing in terms of, you know, if you're going to build a team, if you're shifting hammers every, it's going to be very easy for people to walk away, and the whole where the team should be is unrealistic. It's like a spiral, isn't it? When people are galvanised, and we see it all around, we see be Donegal, even when Jim came back, you know, when people know there's something good happening here, yeah, you get everybody on board and everybody stays and commits, whereas when things go a bit off, it can really knock a club back.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, like, I think, you know, what I've seen happening over the last number of years, and, you know, I wouldn't really seen it as a great thing. I don't know, maybe it's me back playing a bit of junior now, but a lot of these teams now have junior teams, which means they're developing. Like, obviously, there are only so many players can play in a senior panel. And, you know, then even the minors and the under-16s coming up, they can play at the junior level. And, you know, it paves the way for them into the senior level then. You know, maybe they're just not ready for senior. Yeah. And I think it's a very, very good thing. And I see a lot of clubs now, well, a lot of clubs are now trying to get a junior team out there, Brendan, as well. And, you know, that's adding it. And at the end of the day, if you have something to win, be it a shield or a cup or something, it's a bit of silverware. It's something to look forward to. It's something that you can, you know, set small goals for. And as I say, it keeps the team together and it keeps the team playing rather than getting hammered every weekend.
Yep. Listen, keep a watch out now for Maureen O'Donnell. She's back playing. She's a dangerous woman on the pitch. Just watch her back, okay? Mo, listen, as ever, thanks a mil for yesterday and wrapping that up this evening. Thanks, Mo. Much appreciated. I'll chat to you soon. Joe Dex, thank you for producing. Stay tuned for the excellent Monday night sessions. The boys are ready to get in and get the place rocking.